welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up in this hour, crime. Later on, we hear Jack Webb in Dragnet. But right now, it's an episode of The Clock from May 2nd, 1948 on ABC. Elliot Lewis stars in Bank Holiday.
In just a moment, you will hear The Clock, presenting transcribed another in a series of dramatic programs. Listen now to
The Clock.
From Hollywood, The Clock stars Kathy and Elliot Lewis and is produced and directed by radio's master of the art of suspense, William Spear.
Sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time. From the 42nd Bank and Trust Company, where Jane Evans used to work, you can hear the clock atop Amy Semple McPherson's Angelus Temple.
It happened the morning after I became engaged to Harold. I got to the bank a little early that morning, hoping I'd be able to see him for a minute before we opened for business. And sure enough, Harold was just hanging up his hat and coat when I came in the door. You see, I'm one of the junior tellers at the main branch here in town. Or rather, I was. And Harold is assistant manager. That's how we met. So, this morning, I didn't stop at my own cage, but went right on through the gate and walked up quietly behind Harold. Hello, darling.
What?
Why, Mr. Osborne, don't you remember me? I'm the girl.
Jane, please.
Good morning, Mr. Osborne.
Good morning, Johnson.
Good morning, Miss Evans.
Miss Evans, would you step into my office for a moment?
Why, certainly.
Jane, really, you mustn't.
What? I didn't do anything. I just
said... But suppose
I...
someone had overheard. Don't you see?
Well, Harold, what if they had? They'll know about it in a day or two anyway.
But that's just the point, my dear. They mustn't.
They mustn't? But we're going to tell our friends, aren't
Jane,
we?
Jane, I thought you understood all that. You know how the bank frowns on office romances. After we're married, it'll be different.
But, Harold, this is different. We're engaged.
Nevertheless, my dear, the policy of the bank distinctly says...
Oh, fooey on the policy of the bank. This is our business.
But, Jane, the bank is my career. And I'm only thinking
of the bank. And I'm thinking of our life together.
Jane, please be practical. In my position here, I simply must live up to the standards that the bank
says. The bank. Sometimes I wish I could meet somebody, just somebody who hated banks. It wasn't a very good way to start off an engagement. Or even to start off a day's work, for that matter. I went back to my cage feeling miserable. And I got out my cash for the day, including the little package of 25 $1,000 bills that a client of ours always called for on Friday. We never asked why. That isn't the bank's business. And I unlocked my cash drawer and put the money away. Then it was 10 o'clock, and I opened my window for business. There weren't many people in the bank yet, but at my window, there were two men. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I help you?
Yeah. This is a stick-up. Just take it easy and do what we tell you, and you won't get hurt. But my friend here's got a gun under that newspaper he's carrying.
Gun? And I'd love to use it, sister.
What do you want me to do?
Here's a paper bag. Fill it up.
Yes. All right.
And don't forget those 25 G notes that George Oliver calls for every Friday.
The what?
Don't stall.
We know all about them. That's one reason we're here.
Don't make any funny moves, sister, because if you do, it's... Curtains.
I'd often wondered what I'd do if this ever happened, but now I couldn't even think. As I fumbled with the money, I looked at the two men. One of them was about 35, dark hair, a square jaw, hard blue eyes. The other, the one with the gun, was a nervous, evil-looking boy, about 21. I knew that they meant everything they said. I glanced sideways for just a minute towards Harold's office, and his luck would have it, he was just coming out the door. And he must have seen that something was wrong because he started right over to my
window.
Come on,
sister, slap into it.
I'm trying to hurry.
The paper only, never mind the change.
Yes, right.
Who's that coming over here?
That's Mr. Osborne, the manager.
All right. Just don't try to make any bright conversation. I'll do the talking.
Is there anything I can do here, Miss Evans?
Yes. Just stand right where you are and keep quiet.
What?
Harold, it's...
Don't look so hurt. You've heard of banks being held up before, haven't you?
Oh.
Come on, miss. Hand it over. We haven't got all day.
Here you are.
Thanks.
We ought to take her along,
Don't
Frank.
Be crazy. Come on.
We ought to take
no,
her.
No, no. You can't do that. Miss Evans is one of my most trusted employees.
And I'm his fiancée.
Oh, you are,
Jane?
Yeah? Now, I know we're going to take her along.
You're a fool, Sonny.
Yeah? Well, Harold here don't think I'm so dumb, do you, Harold? Because you know what happens to your girlfriend if you set the cops on us?
No.
Yeah. Curtains. Come on.
Don't do anything, Harold. I'll be all right. Why would I tell a couple of bandits who came in to hold up the bank that I was engaged to Harold? Particularly when Harold was the manager of the bank. Oh, it was crazy. But there were a lot of crazy things I did that day that I didn't understand myself until later. Naturally, when I told them that, they took me along as a hostage. Well, the next thing I knew, I was sitting in the front seat of a big blue car beside the one called Frank, the other one called Sonny. I tied a blindfold over my eyes. Once we drove in somewhere, and for 15 or 20 minutes, there was a lot of banging and clattering around the car. Then we drove on. At first, I was too frightened to even breathe. And then I began to get angry. Just what do you think you're going to do with me?
Tell you the truth, I haven't quite made up my mind.
Yeah? Well, I have.
Shut up, Sonny.
Look, I demand that at least you take this silly blindfold off.
Oh, no, we couldn't do that, baby. Then you might see how we'd strip this car down just now and change the hood and the fenders.
Shut
and
up,
plates.
Sonny. You talk too much.
What's the difference? She ain't going to be around.
I said, shut up.
What's the matter? You getting soft?
No. But a bank rap's enough without having some trigger-happy punk of a kid.
You better not talk to me that way.
I'll talk to you any way I want to. Watch out the back for cops.
Huh? Cops? You don't think the little lady's boyfriend is going to...
I wouldn't want to bet too much on it. Would you, Miss Evans?
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that at least Harold isn't a cowardly, bullying...
I'm sure Harold is the perfect gentleman. I got a hunch he's also the perfect banker.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just don't want to admit what I'm talking about. Which is that in spite of anything that might happen to you, Harold will turn us in.
And have me... He wouldn't.
No? Maybe we can check on that. I'll turn on the radio.
And what's that going to prove?
Shortwave.
Yeah. You see? All the latest equipment for bank robbers, sweetheart. That's us.
R-17-1-7. Disturbance at 8th and Pico. Disturbance at 8th and Pico. See motel proprietor. 1-7, roger.
Well.
All units. Attention, all units.
Uh-huh.
Two unidentified men wanted for holdup of main right. branch of 42nd Bank and Trust Company and kidnapping woman
employee. How do you like that?
Here we are.
Jane Evans.
That's
Caucasian.
30 double.
Last seen wearing light blue dress. Black shoes.
He done it. He done it, Frank.
See what I mean, Miss Evans?
Well, it was his duty. Why shouldn't he?
Nothing. No reason at all. Just a question of who rates the most of the guy, I guess. His boss or his woman?
All right. He asked for it. I told him what I'd do.
What are you going to do?
Well, Miss Evans... I think we'll drive up this little side road here and let you out.
Oh?
Shouldn't have any trouble hitching a ride back. If you do, just try what Claudette Colbert did in that picture.
Huh?
Remember?
You kidding?
You heard what they said. She was nothing but excess baggage anyway. Now she's just another way they can identify us.
All right, but that don't mean we let the guy get away with it. I told him what I'd do to her. If he squawked, then I'm going to.
You're going to do what I tell you.
Yeah? If I'd known you were so yeller.
And what was that you said, Sonny?
All right, Frank, but I'm not going to... Cops!
They're turning in here. Give me your gun, Sonny. Get down on the floor under the blanket.
I'll plug him, Frank.
Give me that gun and get down on the floor.
You're nuts. Don't get us, Frank.
I know what I'm doing. You do what I tell you. That's right. And keep covered up and keep quiet. Take off the blindfold, Miss Evans.
Look here, if you think
I'm... Now, you're
going
to kiss me, and you better make it good.
What?
Because this gun's going to be right in your ribs. All right, now.
I'm going to do no such thing.
Oh. Well, you kind of startled me, officer.
What are you doing here?
Well, if you must know, I'm getting engaged. Is there anything wrong with that?
Let me see your license.
We haven't got the license yet.
Your driver's license.
Oh, sure. What's the matter?
Just let me see your license.
Yeah. Yeah, here you are. You looking for somebody?
Just a couple of guys who held up a bank, kidnapped a girl.
Is that right?
Young lady got any identification?
Well,
go on, tell him, honey. You see, we left town in sort of a hurry. You might call it a sort of elopement.
Sort of elopement, huh?
Yes.
Well, I guess you're all right. But you know you shouldn't be parking in here in the broad daylight like this.
Oh, yeah, but you know how it is.
Yeah, sure, I know how it is.
Sure. All right, you can come up for air now, Sonny. They're leaving.
You sure?
Yeah. Well, Miss Evans, I'm afraid that under the circumstances, you'll have to put up with our company a little longer. Now, it wasn't as bad as all that, was it? Well, was it? Tell it.
She slaps him right in the puss.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess it does.
That was crazy, too. Here I was, my life completely in this big ape's hands. And I had to slap his face. I knew I'd made him angry, and what was even more dangerous, I'd hurt his pride. But there was nothing to do about it now. For a long time, we just drove along, and nobody said anything. We were crossing a stretch of desert heading towards a mountain range. We just passed through a little town. I saw the car pull out of a side road as we flashed by, but neither of the two men did. And all of a sudden, my mind began to race, thinking that maybe now was coming my chance to escape, wondering what I could do. Then my blood ran cold again. The way they were talking.
We're still heading for the same place, Frank?
Yeah.
The mountain place?
That's right.
What about Miss Spitfire here?
I'll take care of that when the time comes.
She knows too much.
That's right.
See, if I thought you was getting soft, Frank...
What would you do?
You know what we gotta do, don't you?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, not right out here in the open desert. That's a cinch.
The mountains?
Yeah. Maybe the mountains.
Maybe. It better not be no... Hey, cops again. Look, right behind us.
Yeah. Those others must have got the thick of things over.
Cops. In the middle of the desert and no one in sight for miles.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this.
Sonny!
I've been waiting through this all day.
Hey, you're crazy.
Oh, we get them before they get us, that's all. They're shooting back. They know they got a fight in the hands now.
And so have we. Shoot at their tires, you hear?
Okay. Frank, they hit us.
And that's not supposed to happen the way you saw it in the movies, huh? You.
Me?
Yeah, you. Get down. Down on the floor.
What are you going
to
do?
There's only one thing to do now. Drive like...
At first, I wasn't afraid at all. It was even a little exciting. I kept thinking that maybe in just a few minutes I was going to be rescued. And wondering what Harold would say. and at the same time feeling the exhilaration of being in a race and wanting my side to win. Of course, that was crazy, too. Then suddenly the car took a sickening lurch. I scrambled up onto the seat again. We were out of the desert now, climbing a long, winding hill that twisted up towards the mountains. The police car was falling behind, but it was still following us. We hit another curve. I looked down. For just a minute, there seemed to be no road under my side of the car at all. Only a sheer drop down to a canyon filled with huge boulders. 100 feet below. We hit the other side of the curve and straightened out. But I was frightened now, all right. I was weak, and I was sick from fear. I
told you to stay down on the floor.
I can't. Frank, look out, please.
Get your hands away from that wheel.
You're going to kill it.
I know what I'm doing.
Stop it. Please, Frank, stop.
Stop.
Please.
It might be all right for you, lady, but it wouldn't be so good for me.
I'm afraid.
Oh, take it easy, kid. Close your eyes like you're doing the roller coaster. You'll be all right.
Oh, Frank will be killed.
What do you think I'm running for instead of fighting, just so nobody will be killed? Not even cops.
Frank, look out.
Keep away from that wheel, I told you.
Look out.
Keep away.
Frank.
Oh, I hate to
please,
do this, but...
Please, look. I saw his fist rush up towards the point of my jaw, and that was all. When I woke up, it was mid-afternoon, and I was lying on a bed in a bare little room of what was obviously a mountain cabin. Through the one window, all I could see was the jumble of rocks and boulders piled up against the mountainside. I felt my chin. It was sore. There was a little bruise on it. But aside from that, I seemed to be all in one piece. Then suddenly I heard voices. They were coming from the next room through the crack of a door left an inch or two ajar. So I crept over. I listened.
Now, don't worry. I'll handle it.
Okay. Right?
Sure. Now, go on down into town and get some grub like I told you.
Okay, Frank. You sure you don't want me?
No. Get going.
Okay, Frank.
I stood there by the door, frozen with fear. I didn't need to hear any more to know what they'd been talking about. For a second, I thought of escape, and I looked wildly over towards the window. It was too late. The door was already swinging open.
Oh. You've been listening, huh?
Yes.
How do you feel?
All right.
Well... glad to see you're up and around.
Why? Because it's against your principles to kill women who are unconscious?
There's a pass down the backside of the mountain that leads into the main highway. It's 4 or 5 miles long and pretty rugged, but you ought to be able to make it before dark if you hurry.
Oh.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, I guess it does.
Why don't you better get going?
How do you know that?
Because you're going to promise me not to. Aren't you?
Yes.
All you have to say is that I slugged you. That's all you remember until you woke up by the side of the road. We'll be out of here and over the border by morning anyway.
What about Sonny?
I can handle Sonny.
I guess I do owe you something after all.
Me? What?
My life.
Oh, I play strictly for me. I just don't want that punk kid with his movie idea of cops and robbers to be hanging a murder rap on us, that's all.
You're a strange man to be a
crook? Listen, there are just two kinds of guys in the world. Right guys and wrong guys. And the wrong kind can be the usual bum with a gun in his hand. Or he can be a pillar of society that sits all day behind a big, shiny desk. He can be kind to his mother and nice to little kids. Have a lot of fancy excuses and reasons he gives himself. Or just no reasons at all, like me. But a wrong guy is still a wrong guy. He's no good.
Well, thanks anyway.
All right, you better get going now. By the way, sorry I hit you.
That's all right. I guess I had it coming.
And I'm sorry I let you get into this mess in the first place. But...
But what?
That kiss. I meant that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Frank. So did I.
Jane. Trailed us here after all.
Frank, the cop.
Yeah.
I saw him down ahead of me on the turn of the road. I just had time to turn around and get back. You still got the dame, huh?
Yeah.
I was hoping you hadn't done nothing yet. She's about the only ace we got left, Frank.
Take the south window. I'll take the west one.
Yeah.
Don't try to go knocking them off. It'll only make it worse. Just keep them covered so they can't rush us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if I can get a clean shot at
one. You'll do what I tell you. Can you see them?
Yeah. Yeah, they're down behind the big rocks.
And that's as far as they can get. It's as far as they could get, even if they had an army. Until it gets dark.
Frank, we could turn the car lights on them.
Well, they'd only shoot them out.
We can hold them, Frank. We got enough ammunition
here.
You
can't eat ammunition. Maybe they can't get up, but we can't get down either. We can't stay here forever.
They'll never take me alive. They'll never take me alive.
Oh, stop it, will you? Try using your head for a change. Yeah.
Frank, what could it be?
I don't know. The boys seem to have stopped the artillery barrage, too.
Don't answer it.
Don't answer it? Are you kidding? What's the difference? You don't think we're going to kid anybody we're not home, do you?
Frank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's here. Sure she's all right.
Frank, who is it?
It's your boyfriend, Harold.
Harold?
He came with the cops. He's on the Forest Ranger's emergency call box just down the road.
Let me talk to him.
Worried about him?
No, no, it isn't that, but let me talk to him.
Sure, go ahead.
Harold? Yes. Yes, so am I. No. No, nothing like that. They've been quite all right. Yes, of course they are. No, there's nothing to prevent them from killing me anytime they want to. Listen, Harold, all you care about is getting the money back and me, isn't it? Yes, I know. All right, wait a minute. Frank, you said you were near the border. How long would it take you to get there?
A couple of hours. One would put us in the clear.
Would you give them back the money? And me?
Will the cops go for a deal like that?
They've got to. Harold? What's getting dark got to do with it? Of course you can't storm the place and expect to find me alive. Now listen, Harold. Harold, they'll give back the money. Yes, I'll bring it down myself, but you've got to give them 1 hour start. Well, you can just say they rescued me and the money, but the men got away. No, Harold, nothing like that. You've got to promise me, Harold, on your word of honor, your solemn word of honor. All right. They'll do it.
Okay.
Are you nuts?
It's our only chance.
Harold? All right. Yes, I'm coming down. Now.
But if she goes...
She's going. The dough's still in the paper bag. It's on the table.
Frank,
I... Get going.
Frank... Goodbye.
Goodbye. Harold, just so you don't have an idea you're getting away with anything, I think you're a dirty liar.
I hardly heard and didn't even think about it. I was so relieved and still so bewildered by everything. Running down the hill with the paper bag of money clutched in my hand. And then I saw Harold crouching behind a rock. And then some policemen. And then I was around the bend. And they were all running up to me. And I just threw myself into Harold's arms.
Jane.
Huh?
Jane, dearest. Huh? Jane.
Yeah?
Are you all right?
Yes. I'm all right, Harold. Here's the money.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, it's all here. All right, officer.
Okay, Chuck, let him go.
Come, my dear.
Harold. Harold, what?
Tear gas.
Tear gas?
It's quite harmless, really.
But, Harold, tell them. Tell them what we promise.
I'm afraid it's out of our hands now, my dear.
Harold, you promised. You gave me your word of honor.
Of course I did.
You
but
knew.
I still...
You knew all the time you planned to do this. Stop that! Stop that!
Please, my dear, you're on the rock.
Let me go. Jane. Stop it! Stop it!
Jane!
Stop it! Stop that! Stop it! I tried to run back, but they held me. And I had to watch. I couldn't help it. It seemed hours, but it was only minutes, I suppose. The tear gas bombs exploding around the cabin, crashing through the windows as they got the range. And then something white fluttered from the door, and they came out. The boy first with his hands in the air, and then Frank, stumbling towards us like blind men and coughing. Those terrible, racking coughs that seemed to be tearing him to pieces. Frank? Frank?
Hello.
Frank, I didn't know. I swear to you, I didn't know.
I know. I did, though. I knew before you left.
Oh, why did you let me? I wouldn't have gone if I'd known.
Because he's just the kind that would have stormed the place. Maybe I couldn't have handled Sonny.
Frank, I'll help you. I'll do everything I possibly can, anything.
Skip it. Just take some advice, will you? Next time, be sure it's a right guy.
People can be honest and dishonest in so many different ways. Well, I got to the bank early the next morning, too. Harold was already there waiting for me.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're here early. There's some things I wanted to talk over with you. You know, you're quite the heroine now.
Am I?
Oh, yes. And you know, darling, I've been thinking, perhaps I was a little too conscientious yesterday. About our marriage, I mean. I think perhaps you were right, after all. We ought to tell them.
Harold, about our marriage.
Yes?
There isn't going to be any marriage.
Isn't going to be any?
I found out something about a girl getting married, Harold. Marriage is something you do second.
Do second?
Yes. First, you find a right guy.
From Hollywood, The Clock is produced and directed by William Spear and stars Kathy and Elliot Lewis.
The Clock, on Tuned to Yesterday, a crime anthology show from ABC. That episode first broadcast on May 2nd, 1948. You're listening to an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, if you were a radio listener in 1955, you could have tuned into NBC on a Tuesday night at 8:30 to enjoy Dragnet, as over 3.5 million people did at the time of this next broadcast called The Big Rush from July 5th, 1955.
Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a robbery detail. Two men have been terrorizing the tavern keepers in your city. In spite of your efforts, they continue to run free. Your job? Stop them.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, June 14th. It was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief of Detectives Thad Brown. My name's Friday. We're on our way out from the office, and it was 11:13 a.m. when we got to the corner of 7th Street and Sunset Boulevard. The Black Dog Bar and Grill.
In the back.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, what'll it be?
Police officers.
Oh, cops, huh?
That's right. This is Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
How are you? Nick Thomas. I guess about last night, huh?
That's right. We'd like to go over a couple things with you.
Sure. Can I get you anything?
No.
You mind if I have a cup of coffee while we talk?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Sure surprised me.
What's that?
Last night, I sure wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, you read about things like that happening, but you just never figure them happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you've been in the business as long as I have. You ought to expect it. At least that's the way I figure it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what do you want to know?
Well, according to what you told the officers last night, the men came in the place about 11:30, is that right?
That's right, 11:30.
You sure about the time?
Oh, yeah. You see, I always look at that newscaster, 11:15, 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
He went off the air, and they just put up the card where it tells what station it is, and this guy walked right in.
Yeah.
I can't stand him myself.
What?
The newscaster, I can't stand him. Me and the missus have gotten some real bad beefs about him.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. She digs him, but I can't stand him myself. He's a real no good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kind of a guy where if some old man spit in the sidewalk, he could build it up so we should evacuate the whole city. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a real no good.
Wonder if you checked this description of the two men who held you up.
Sure. Know those two guys anyplace. Ever saw them again, I'd sure know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's them. The tall one and the fat one. That's them. I'd know them anyplace.
What'd they say to you?
Well, hardly nothing at all. Just walked up to the bar, leaned over, and told me to hand over the money.
I see. Do you remember the exact words?
You mean the way they said it?
Yeah.
Well, let me see. I think it was, Okay, Mac, this is a stick-up. Do like we tell you, won't get hurt. Like that, he talked.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us the money. Don't make any noise.
Yeah.
Well, I did. Walked right back to the register, opened it up, and handed over the loot.
What happened then?
Told me to keep quiet, and then they walked out of the place.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else in here?
Well, there's a couple of people up in front.
Did the thieves bother them?
No, they were just after the money in the register. Other couple didn't even know there was anybody here until it was all over.
I see.
There were a couple of kids.
What's that?
Kids, you know what I mean. Like young and real in love. Roof could have fallen in. They wouldn't have known it.
Yeah.
Cops talked to them last night, but they couldn't tell them nothing.
You say you'd know these men if you saw them again, huh?
You just get all the money you can on that one.
Mm-hmm. Did you see if they had a car?
Who?
The men who held you up.
Oh, no.
They didn't have one, is that?
Well, I didn't see it.
Is there anything about them that you can tell us?
No, just a couple of guys. One tall, the other one fat.
Did you see if they had a gun?
You think I'd have handed over the money if they didn't?
What kind of a weapon was it?
It was a gun, the kind with bullets. You pull the trigger, it goes bang, like that.
Yeah,
it was a gun.
I know, but was it a revolver or an automatic?
Well, I don't know. I guess it was a... Well, come to think of it, I guess... Hey, you know, you're right.
What do you mean?
I didn't see it.
Hmm.
Not even a peek. Guy had his hand in his pockets like this, you know, like this.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see the gun, though, not for real.
Mm-hmm.
He just had it in his pocket.
Yeah.
Hey, you figure he was just playing a joke on me?
What's that?
A funny, that he really didn't have a gun at all?
Well, we wouldn't know.
Well, why not?
What?
Well, why don't you know? It's your job, isn't it? Knowing things like that, bunch of crooks running around, you don't even know if they've got a gun. The fine lot of cops you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I might have just given him that money for nothing. If he didn't have a gun, there was no reason to hand it over. No reason at all. I should have found out. That's what, huh?
What do you mean?
I made a grab at the guy. Probably didn't have nothing in the pocket but just his hand or something like that.
Yeah.
If he didn't have one, if I was right, I could have told you guys.
What if it was the other way?
Huh?
What if you were wrong? From the method of operation and the description of the suspects, we knew that they were the same two men who had staged six robberies in the past week. We showed the latest victim the mugshots from the packages that the stats office had turned for us. He pointed out three of the pictures and said they looked something like the holdup men, but he was unwilling to make even a tentative identification. 11:56 a.m. We returned to the office and put in a call to Leighton Prince. They hadn't been able to turn anything of value. A canvas of the area around the bar had netted nothing. The case stood where it had 7 days before when the robbery was first reported, 1:15 p.m.
Well, it doesn't seem to be a directional trend.
No, we're hitting all over, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Anything from Burton?
A list of names came in this morning. We've already checked most of them out.
We could use a few more leads.
I'd settle for one.
Ben.
You seen the skipper?
Yeah, I was in earlier. I don't think he's in the office now.
I wonder when he's going to climb on it.
I don't know. I've been expecting him, Joe. Yeah. Better off around?
I haven't seen him. Why?
Well, he said he might be able to help us turn something.
Yeah.
Said he had an informant down on L.A. Street.
Mm-hmm. Hot shot. Let's go.
Hmm?
Same two.
Yeah.
They hit again. Frank and I left the office and drove out to the scene of the latest robbery. It was a small restaurant located on South Spring. By the time we got there, a radio car had arrived and the officer was checking the area.
You the cops? Are you? Are you more cops?
That's right.
That's what I thought. Other fella, he left. He said he was going to look for the crooks. He just went up the street.
You want to tell us what happened?
Held up, that's what. Held up.
Yes, we understand. Did the officer get a description of the thieves?
Sure, got it first thing. Said something about doing a broadcast or something. I'm not sure what he meant, but that's what he said.
All right. You want to give us your name?
Hector Pip.
What's that?
Pip. P-I-P. Like C.
Uh-huh.
Conan Doyle wrote a story about him. Pips. C, you know. Yep, Hector Pip.
This is my partner, Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
Sure thing. Now, what do you all know?
Well, would you tell us what happened, please, sir?
Better get on the ball. Can't stand around and waste time. Better get the fellas what did it.
Mm-hmm.
Came in right through that door. Came in and told me it was a stick-up. That it just as plain as anything. Stick-up.
Mm-hmm.
Sent me to hand over the money in the cash register. Over.
How much was it?
Well, I'm not sure. Must have been about $60, $70. I'm not sure.
Did you see him when they left?
Well, certainly. Couldn't very well miss him. Small place. Just stood here and watched him go. Watched my money go right out the door.
Yes, sir. What I meant was, did you see him get in the car?
No, I didn't. No, I sure didn't. Just stood here and watched him go. But I didn't see no car.
Was there anybody else in the place?
Well, there was one fellow.
Well, where's he?
He left. All excitement got into gear and he left. Chintzy, too. Chintzy.
What do you mean?
Owed me for a piece of cream pie and a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen him before?
No, a new face. He ain't from around here. Brand new.
Did you hear either of the two men use a name of any kind?
I sure did, yeah.
You want to tell us?
Do I have to?
Well, we'd like you to, if you will.
Lard. That's what he said. Lard.
Which one?
The tall one, like a fence picket. He's the one.
He called the other one Lard?
No.
But you said he used the name.
Sure. But he was talking to me.
Yeah. Well, look, is there anything else you can tell us about the men that might make it easier to identify them?
No, just two fellas. One tall, thin, other one fat.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have no reason to call me Lard. I've been on a diet for a couple of weeks. Eating those pills that swell up in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they work for some people. Just make me feel as though I had a sponge.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything outstanding about the men?
No. Not that comes to mind, no.
They have a gun?
Not right off.
What do you mean?
Didn't have one when they come in. Of course, I didn't know that. No, sir, I didn't have any idea, no.
Mm-hmm.
Got them now, though. Stole them with the money.
What?
38 revolver and the 25 automatic. Took them.
Frank and I took the latest victim to the city hall. While he started to check the mug books, we ran the serial numbers of the guns through the record section. We found that they were both registered to Hector Pip. At 3:46 p.m., Frank came back to the office from the mug room.
Joe?
Back here. How's it going?
Not long. He still hasn't found anything.
What's he checking now?
Coming out books. Got four or five more to go through.
Did you show him the pictures the stats office turned?
Yeah, nothing.
Hi, Wheat. How's Ben?
Hi, Walt. Mug room.
I'm looking for you.
Yeah?
Talked to a fellow down on Main this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Says he knows the guys you're looking for.
We made arrangements for somebody to stay with the victim, and then Frank and I left the city hall. Sergeant Walt Bitteroff drove us over to talk to his informant. We found him in a cheap hotel on Wall Street.
All right, Walt, come on in.
Thanks, Angie.
You get it?
Yeah. Here you are.
They cold?
Right out of the icebox.
Yeah, thanks.
These are the two guys I told you about, Angie.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you want some cold beer?
No.
No, thanks a lot.
How about you, Will?
Uh-huh.
You don't mind if I have one?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I must have had a good time last night.
Yeah.
My eyes feel like they're 3 feet apart.
Uh-huh.
Hey, nothing like a cold beer the next morning.
Yeah.
My girlfriend gave me some new glasses, like in a beer commercial.
Yeah, nice.
Sure looks good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, sir. That's what I needed. Funny.
What?
Funny about beer. Always tastes good, but a glass like this makes it taste better. Ambrosia. Pure ambrosia.
Yeah, I wonder if we can get down to business, Andy.
Hmm? Ah, sure, sure. Now I get my head back. What can I do for you?
Said you had some information on the two guys who were pulling these bar holdups.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I'd like you to tell Friday and Smith here about it.
They cops?
That's right.
You're after the fellas, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Walt tell you anything about setup?
What do you mean?
Well, anything you get, it didn't come from me.
Yeah, they know that, Angie.
Well, I gotta make sure. I remember something that helps you out. I forget it right away. You talk to me 5 minutes from now, I don't remember. Deal?
All right.
What about the guys?
Heavy, got in town a couple of months ago.
Where are they from?
St. Louis.
You got the names?
Yeah, part of them.
What do you mean?
Well, just what they're called, that's all I got.
That'll do.
Well, don't pay to ask too many questions, you know.
Yeah.
Step on somebody's toes and you find their foot in your face.
What about the names?
Well, tall one's called Ronnie. Fat guy's tagged Whale.
Is that what everybody calls him?
All I heard.
You know where they live?
Nope.
Where'd you meet him?
I move around. I run into him a couple of bars. It's Seen them once or twice.
How do you know they're the ones we're after?
Just figures, that's all. Got a big role, talk loud, where they look, just figures.
You know where we can pick them up?
I haven't got any idea.
They drive in a car?
Well, not that I've seen.
Anything else you can tell us about them?
You've had it.
Have either one of them fallen?
Well, we never spent an evening talking about it, but it figures they did.
Back east, maybe?
Yeah, I guess so. I heard the whale say this was the first time they'd been on the coast.
Mm-hmm. All right, Angie, if there's nothing else.
There isn't.
If you hear anything, Angie, we'd appreciate a call.
Works out, I'll let you know. I'm not going to put anything in writing. Those jokers hear about it, and I'd have to dig a hole.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by, Walt.
Yeah.
Glad I've met you guys. See you again, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for the beer, Walt.
It's okay.
Sure made the difference. First got up, I felt like a gang of midgets had been playing soccer in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Rough last night. Gotta make a few calls around, find out.
Huh?
What kind of time I had.
We returned to the office and sent a radiogram to the St. Louis Police Department requesting all information on anyone in their files who'd used the nicknames Ronnie or Whale. We checked the two names through our moniker file without result. The next day, Wednesday, June 15th at 5:26 p.m., we got word from the east.
Here it is, John.
St. Louis?
Yeah, looks like they turned them.
Let me see. Arnold Saba and Gerard Llewellyn. How about Muggs?
Well, they're sending stand-ups right away.
Should be here in the morning, then, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
The hot one, I'll get it.
What is it?
Robbery out on Olympic. Sounds like Ronnie and the Whale.
How long ago?
Just left the place. Shot it up pretty bad.
Anybody hurt?
Yeah. Policeman got in their way. The Green Tree Cafe was located at the corner of Olympic Boulevard and Estrada Street. By the time we got there, an ambulance had arrived and the wounded officer had been removed to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. A felony car from Central Division had arrived at the scene and had started to search for the officer's assailants. We got the story from the bartender, Alvin Jaggers.
Well, two guys come in, like I told you, walked right in, told me it was a holdup.
How'd the policeman get shot?
On the way out, it happened. After I give the guys the money, started to leave, Abner saw him, tried to stop him.
You know the officer, do you?
Yeah, he comes in once in a while. Him and his wife come in for steak sandwiches.
Was his wife with him tonight?
Yeah, I think she went up to the hospital with him. I think that's where she went.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, when Abner saw these two fellas, you know, the holdup man?
Yeah.
When he saw him, he told him to put down the guns.
Where was he standing?
You mean Abner?
That's right.
Oh, he was up there by the door. Him and the missus was in the front booth, and the guys went right by him when they come in.
Yeah.
He was standing right up by the door, told him to put down the guns and give up.
Well, now, did he have his gun out of the holster?
Yeah. You know, he had a kind of aim, like this here.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon he was afraid of the people in the place, you know, if he had to shoot or something.
Mm-hmm.
And these two fellas stopped by when they saw him dead in their steps, told Abner to get out of the way.
Yeah.
He didn't budge none, held his ground for sure. Him right there, and them here, see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tall one, he yelled that they was going to leave and Abner shouldn't try to stop him.
Uh-huh.
And they started to walk outside and Abner brought the gun up so as he could shoot at him.
Yeah.
Didn't make it, though. Shot him dead center right here in the chest. After that, they run out the place, took off down the street.
Did the officer shoot at him at all?
Mm-mm. Didn't have no chance. Guess he was finished before he started.
Well, did the men get into a car?
Well, if they did, I didn't see him. Too much going on.
Did either one of these men use a name while they were in here?
How do you mean?
Well, did they call each other by name?
Now, let me think about that for a minute. Yeah, I think they did.
What was it, do you remember?
Well, after the shooting the tall one, he turned the other fella and he said, come on, well, let's get out of here.
Uh-huh. Which one of them did the actual shooting?
I couldn't tell you that.
What do you mean?
Well, both of them shot about the same time. Wasn't more than a half a second difference. Bang, bang, real fast. Both about the same time. I don't know if they both hit Abner, but they both shot at the same time.
Have you seen these men around before?
You know, matter of fact, I have.
They've been in here?
Yeah, must have been 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Come in with Georgia. I guess they're pretty good friends.
Who's she?
Regular customer, spent a lot of time in here. Drinks bangers. Rough. Mm-hmm.
You know we can get in touch with her?
Shouldn't be too hard.
Hmm?
She lives down next block.
We left the bar and walked to the entrance of the apartment hotel down the street. According to the building register, Georgia Wells occupied apartment 314. We rang the buzzer and after a few moments we were admitted to the building. The elevator wasn't working, so we walked up 3 flights.
Oh, man, I guess I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how far you'd get without all the modern conveniences.
Huh? Yeah. Mistress is in here.
Yeah.
Better try it again.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Georgia Wells?
That's right. I know you.
Police officers, we'd like to talk to you.
What about?
Might be better if we came inside.
Sure, come on in. Nothing here to hide. Come on.
I'll look around, Frank.
Yeah.
What's he looking for?
Just want to check the place.
You gonna find anything here? I got no beef with the cops. Never been in any trouble before. I want to keep it that way.
All right.
It's clean, Joe.
You gonna tell me what this is all about?
You know a couple of men named Ronald Saba and Gerard Llewellyn?
Why, you ask?
You know
them? Yeah.
You know where they are?
No, look, maybe if you tell me why you're looking for the boys, I can help you out.
It's a police matter.
You go find them yourself.
When did you see them last?
A couple of days ago.
Where?
Bar over on 6th.
You know where they live?
Look, mister, I don't carry no water for them, but I'm not going to blow the whistle until I know what the beef is.
It's pretty serious, and you're not doing yourself any good acting like this.
You know where we can find them?
Look, I'm going to level with you. I know the boys, sure. They're a lot of laughs, good spenders. That's all it is with us.
We got it that you're pretty good friends.
You've been talking to the landlady. She's all the time sticking her nose in where it don't belong.
That's so?
Yeah. She's hacked at me anyway. Go out of her way to make trouble. All the time, she'll go out of her way.
And why'd she do that?
She don't like me, that's why. She got no reason. She just don't like me. All the time yelling about how I'm using too much laundry, how I let the water run too long, beefing about how I'm not supposed to do no cooking in the place. Pot of coffee, and she's ready to take it in front of the U.N.
Mm-hmm.
I told the truth. Boys and me have been out a couple of times, dinner, drinks, maybe a show, that's all. There's nothing serious between us. Matter of fact, they both leave me cold, romantic.
Well, then you shouldn't worry about telling us where to find them.
I just don't want to get mixed up in nothing. That's all there is to it. I don't want to get dragged into something I didn't build. You can see that, can't you, huh? You can see that.
Where do we find him?
He'll be here in 40 minutes.
We put in a call to the office and told him where we were. We got out a local broadcast and an all-points bulletin asking that two suspects be picked up. 5:52 p.m., we settled down to wait for the men.
What am I supposed to do when they get here?
Just keep out of the way.
There's going to be no shooting, is there?
Not unless they start it.
You just don't know anymore.
What's that?
You go out with a guy, nothing serious, a few laughs, and you end up in trouble.
They ever tell you what they did for a living?
Ronnie mentioned something about starting a car agency.
Yeah.
He had some deal back east where he could get the cars cheap, and he figured on having them driven out here and selling them. Told me how him and the whale was going to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Said it was the sweetest deal they ever come across. Real sweet, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Joe.
Yeah. You better get in the other room, Miss Wells.
Yeah, sure. Please, no shooting.
All right, go on.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Mr. Holder, right there.
What is this?
Come on, turn around.
What?
Turn around. Put your hands up on that wall.
Here, Joe, 38.
Where'd you get this, Saba?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This gun, where'd it come from?
I never saw it before.
It was in your coat.
Well, then you creeps put it there. It ain't mine.
Where's Llewellyn?
Oh?
Gerard Llewellyn.
I never heard of him.
All right, put your hands down.
Can I turn around now?
Yeah.
You guys gonna tell me what this is all about?
You know more than we do.
Well, I ain't gonna argue about that.
Where's the whale?
You guys been on the spike. I don't know what you're talking about.
You want to call downtown, get somebody out here, we'll take him in.
Yeah.
I got you, huh?
You lousy bum. You finked on us.
I had nothing to do with
it. All right, take it easy.
She told you, didn't she? Didn't she tell you where to get us?
Doesn't make any difference.
It does to me. All she ever wanted was a good time. All the time wanting to go to the best places. All the time in the expensive clothes. You lousy bum, that's all she is.
All right, that's enough of that.
You're not kidding. You're with me if I never saw her again. Be the best thing.
Well, then you're going to be happy.
Huh?
That's the way it'll be. Another team of men came out from the office and took over the stakeout on the apartment. Frank and I drove Ronald Saba down to the city hall. We put in a call to the receiving hospital and found that the wounded officer would recover. 6:57 p.m. We started to lay out the evidence for the suspect.
We checked the gun through our record section. It's the one you stole from Hector Pip yesterday.
Mistake someplace.
Yeah, but we didn't make it.
You got nothing to hold me on. Nothing.
Four of the victims have seen your picture. They're willing to swear that you're one of the men who held them up.
Yeah, bunch of creeps, that's all they are. The whole slew of them.
Sure.
Come on, where do we pick up your partner?
I keep telling you guys, I haven't got any partner. I don't know what you're talking about.
You want to explain the gun?
I don't have to. I never saw that gun before. You guys turned it on me. That's what you say. Well, I say it ain't mine. You planted it.
What about the victims?
They made a mistake. It's happened before. Lots of times. You read about it all the time where some joker gets up in court, swears he knows some fella guy ends up spending a couple of years for something he didn't do. All the time there's stories like that in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Well, you sit there and think you're clean. We got it figured different.
I don't care how you got it figured. I'm telling the story the way it happened. Now, you keep talking about this fella Whale or whatever it is. I don't know. I never heard of him. All these jobs you say I did. I don't know anything about them either.
I'll get it. Oh, yeah, well, just got a call from D. Lightner. Yeah. Picked up the bond. Yeah, he copped out, gave him the whole story. We're bringing him in now.
Okay. Well, you just heard it, Saba. How about it? You want to make a statement now? Might go easier if you tell us.
Get down here! All right, grab him! Hot.
Come on! Sit down there.
Come on, let me out of here! Let me out!
All right, now on your feet. Get up.
Lousy fat slob. He just kept his mouth shut, that's all. Just kept his big fat mouth shut. We've been all right. Him and his big mouth.
Now, let's go.
Him and his big fat mouth. Right into the joint. That's where he's put us. Right into the joint.
That's right.
His idea, the whole thing. He's as full of hot air as he is. Well, I hope he's happy. Look what he did. He got me a ticket right into the joint.
No.
Huh?
You paid your own way.
The story you've just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On October 18th, trial was held in Department 94, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. Ronald Eben Saba and Gerard Stephen Llewellyn were tried and convicted of robbery in the first degree, six counts, and received sentence as prescribed by law. Robbery in the first degree is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for a period of not less than 5 years on each count.
Dragnet, the story of your police force in action, is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Dragnet, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 5th, 1955 on NBC. And so ends this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.